Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, you probably know this. I receive stacks of books every week as pitches for the show. As soon as I open the package for today's guest, this book, as soon as I saw it, I knew I wanted to cover it. And a lot of you have been listening a long time. You know, my hubby and I, he's joined me on the show before. But I would say after all these years of marriage, the thing that I love most about us is our active and wild prayer life. Years ago, we prayed a lot on our own. And about 20 years ago, we decided to really actively, daily contend for the promises and believe God for the impossible. And it changed everything in our marriage, in our lives, in the ministry around us. And so we've gotten an appetite for the impossible. So this is why I'm so excited to talk about today's book. Want to know the title? Here it is, Prayer Power, 40 Days of Learning to Pray Like George Mueller. And if you don't know George Mueller's story, you're going to hear some of it today. Dr. Brent Patrick McDougall joins me today to talk about this amazing book, 40 Days. I want you to just take the challenge. I wish we had 100 copies to give away, but we got a handful. If you want to text the word book to get in on the drawing, you can do that. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. And also, here's my question for you, and I love it. It's like my love language when you text me. So I'm going to ask you to engage with me. What are the top two things on your prayer list right now? Be honest, like the top two burdens on your heart. Text them to me, would you? 877-933-2484. I want you to know you're not alone, right? Quick announcement before I introduce my guest. If you're new to the faith, or maybe you don't even know Jesus yet, you know about Him, but you want to know for certain that He's your Savior and Lord. If you need to know anything more about Jesus, we're here to help you. You can text the word faith to 41224. You can text the word faith to 41224. Always here to help and help you take your next steps in the faith journey. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Brent Patrick McDougall, Senior Pastor of the First Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. He has a heart for bringing people together, cultivating atmospheres of prayer, and encouraging devotion among church members as well as throughout the community at large. Prior to joining the First Baptist Church of Knoxville, he served in Alabama and in Texas in various ministry settings. He's been involved with launching significant prayer movements, most recently started Dallas Praise, an ecumenical call to citywide prayer that includes devotional writing, weekly prayer calls, and events that bring people together to pray for the city's transformation. I want to do this here. That is amazing. Brent and his wife, Jennifer, have two grown children, Christopher and Emily. Dear Brent, welcome to the show. So good to meet you.
Thank you. Wonderful day with you.
Yeah, I'm already inspired just by reading your bio. So looking forward to the conversation. We love to start every day making it personal. I'm just wondering, what has the Lord been talking to you about these days?
It's such a great question, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share today. And I think that, you know, faith needs to be fresh and to consider each day, what's God saying? What's God doing? And I'll tell you, one of the things that I feel like God has been really speaking to me recently is just about having faith through the fire. When you go through challenges, when you face the headwinds of life, then sometimes it's easy to think that God's not with you, or that somehow God is perhaps angry with you. You're going through the trial. You're in a difficult spot. But what I've found is that God is so faithful in the midst of those trials. And God sometimes does the best work that God does when we're in the storm. You know, think of the disciples who were terrified. They were facing those headwinds, and Jesus said, don't be afraid, even asking Peter to come out and to get on the boat. Or I think about Moses out in the wilderness and, you know, challenging the people to give to make the tabernacle. And the people rose up and gave generously, and he had to tell them to stop giving. So God was doing great work. And in the middle of all that, God was faithful. That's what God's been teaching me.
That's wonderful. And how about this one? What are you especially thankful for these days?
So I feel like these days, God has been speaking lots of words of life, and really especially teaching me about prayer, deeper and deeper prayer. I've been a Christian for 25 years now, but I feel like I'm just discovering the power that we can experience in prayer.
I love prayer. It's, again, one of my love languages. It's just, it's, you know, it's everything. It's our access to the Father. It's our communion with Him. It's amazing. I would love to know when you first learned about George Mueller and why he inspired you, or how he inspired you so.
Well, I've been telling George Mueller stories for most of my career. I've always been impressed by his stories of faith and how, over the course of his lifetime, he says he experienced 50,000 answers to prayer. So I tell these stories in sermons and in different Bible studies, but I remember distinctly telling a George Mueller story. And after that message, I thought, you know, I love telling George Mueller stories, but I want to live these types of stories. I want to know more power in prayer. And I could just sense that God was saying that God wanted me to learn more from God's word about prayer, and to help me to understand the principles that are available to all of us. So I started to read more about George Mueller. I read his narrative, which is called The Life of Trust. And in that narrative, he describes certain principles or practices that lead to prevailing prayer. So the way that you live ultimately helps you to have more power in prayer, the way that your faith is activated. And his central premise is that the great promises of prayer are for everyone. They're not just for the super saints. They're not just for clergy. They are for everybody. When Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. He gives this to all of us. And so Mueller helped to launch orphanages and care for children because he wanted to give people a tangible picture of what it looks like to completely depend on the living God. I'll tell you, that inspired me. And as I started to put more of this into practice, I began to see more answers to prayer. I began to see God moving in miraculous ways. It's changed me. And I wrote the book because I wanted more people to know that kind of power too.
So wonderful. Let's talk about some of these practices. And after that, I would love to know just some tangibles and what kinds of breakthroughs you started to see and what changed within you. But you studied his life and put into practice some of these things. Abiding daily. I'll just read through the list and have you speak to whichever ones you want. Abiding daily, relying on God in humble dependence, forsaking sin, exercising faith, seeking to do God's will, and persisting in prayer. Speak to whichever ones are standing out to you.
One of the ones that I think has been really important in my personal prayer life and then helping to lead my congregation is around perseverance in prayer. You know, we give up too quickly as we pray. Jesus taught us to always pray and to never give up. When he said, ask and it will be given to you, the word really means keep asking, keep praying. So I learned from the life of George Mueller that often he would pray for 30, 40, 60 days for something, waiting for an answer, just bringing that need before his Heavenly Father. So I began to see the importance of persevering and not being afraid to pray for the same things over and over. It doesn't demonstrate a lack of faith, but instead just to humbly come before God in dependence again and again. Jesus said that's a good posture before our Heavenly Father. So perseverance in prayer, not giving up too soon, and then looking for little deposits on big prayers. There are some prayers I've been praying for many, many years, and sometimes I get discouraged that I don't see God is answering those prayers. But then I began to see, no, some small ways God is already answering that prayer. Some little ways in which God is encouraging me and helping me to know that God is working, even if that prayer will take years or even decades in the making to answer. But God is faithful. That's what God's been teaching me.
That's so wonderful. And you really, when we're looking to Him and trusting in Him, we do start to see the little sprouts that spring up. You know, He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Can you perceive it? Which means we could miss it. We might not perceive it. And I think it's so good to celebrate the wins. And I love this. You said, I started each day with a prayer of simple reliance. I asked God to give me faith that His promises were indeed true. I journaled prayer requests and expected help. I examined areas of my life where I lacked faith or held on to small or large sins that created a huge chasm between me and God. The impact was immediate. I began seeing more answers to prayer as my faith grew. With each promise fulfilled, I took a step of faith, leading me to pray even more. I want you to maybe unpack that. I'm thinking of someone today who's maybe been doing the same thing, praying the same thing, but not maybe looking at some of these other areas. Is there something that's hindering, something that's slowing them down, maybe a sin that's been sitting beneath the surface that they've just maybe grown accustomed to? What advice would you have for them?
Right. Well, I think the first thing is to not don't just sort of stay wallowing in despair or even in shame or feeling like, you know, you've done something wrong. You know, God is so gracious and so generous, and God wants us to learn how to pray. And the principles that I've got there in the book that I learned through George Mueller's life, they're not intended to be sort of a formula to follow, like you put your coins in and somehow you're going to automatically get out everything that you want. It's not like that at all. Instead, what you just described, that simple dependence and abiding in Christ and looking for answers to prayer, these are all biblical principles. So what I tried to do was to really make a practical application of those principles. Sometimes the things that we read in the Bible can feel almost abstract, but if we can drill down a little bit and create some practices for how do we abide in Christ, how do we persevere in prayer, such as a practice of journaling, where we can reflect on those regular prayers that we're having. How can we do things each day that position ourselves to be more open for the blessings of God? For instance, it never occurred to me before reading George Mueller's life about just how significant forsaking sin is in order to experience more breakthrough in prayer. I couldn't see before. I knew on some level that my sin was keeping me from God, but I couldn't see how maybe the way that I was persisting in some sin, that it was actually hindering the power that I was experiencing in prayer. You know, when you tend a garden, you got to not only plant the seeds and water them, but you've also got to remove the rocks, right? Otherwise, you're not going to get the yield that you want. So that's just a practical, you know, sort of a self-examination every day. You know, Lord, is there anything in my life that's not pleasing to you? Is there anything that's keeping me from experiencing more of your power in my life? And then being willing to get rid of those. Jesus said, you got to cut those things out. Don't abide them. Don't rationalize them. You got to get rid of them. Little things like that, I think, yield big results when it comes to prayer.
So good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, you tell the story in the book of how God assigned you to a church in Dallas and how you activated prayer right away and just really what you saw God do. We're also going to talk a little while about listening to God in prayer. How do we hear his voice? Maybe somebody's listening today going, I've never heard his voice. What does that sound like? How can I position myself? Jesus says, my sheep hear, they know my voice, they know what I sound like, but I know sometimes we can get in our head in a way to the point where we're maybe not even realizing God's been whispering in that still small voice. Talking to Dr. Brent Patrick McDougall, he's an author and a pastor. His new book, Prayer Power, 40 Days of Learning to Pray Like George Mueller. And if you don't know George Mueller, he fed, I think, 10,000 orphans. He built buildings, fed these kids, took care of them without ever asking for money. He asked God, and God continually, miraculously supplied what he needed, sometimes on the day of, oftentimes on the day of, where he didn't know where their next meal was coming from. Imagine being responsible for hundreds of kids at one time and running out of food and sitting down to pray. And somebody knocking at the door. That's basically how he lived. So I want to hear some George Mueller stories when we come back as well. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. All the world starts changing when the church starts praying. Strong walls start to break. Oh, when we pray, prison walls start shaking at the sound of praising. Nothing stays the same. Oh, when we pray. Oh, Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Brent McDougall about his book, Prayer Power, 40 Days of Learning to Pray Like George Mueller. And here's some of the prayers that have come in. I asked friends to text in, what are your top two prayer needs on your prayer list? This dear one says, son and daughter would return to Jesus, a night nurse for my grandson. This one said, praying for intervention, guidance to help me through a difficult time. Biggest burden for my adult son and daughter-in-law. They were hurt by the church's teens. They turned away. Youngest son is estranged now for 18 months. Oldest son and wife claim to be agnostic. There's so many folks who are in that same place. Burdens for the youth are battle with porn and technology, and then staying connected with my wife and our prayer life. And on it goes. Many, many people are asking prayer for their young adult kids. Boy, we are praying with you, trusting God to do great things. Pastor, you tell the story about when you took an assignment in Dallas. You came to this church, and I think you activated a prayer movement almost right away. But tell us about what happened there.
Right. I can't take credit for activating a prayer movement. I feel like there were so many great leaders in Dallas that were primed for this moment. But it was at a time when Dallas was really in some turmoil. There had been a lot of riots. There had been a group of us as pastors who were early in the COVID experience praying with each other once a week. We got on a prayer call every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, really encouraging one another and helping one another to deal with the crisis. Well, when a lot of violence broke out, we just saw the need for citywide prayer. So we came together and launched something called Dallas Prays, which was a citywide movement, gathering people together through various events, but also a weekly prayer call across the city, similar to what we did with the clergy. And through that, we heard very similar needs as what you just described. People praying for sons and daughters to come home to the Lord, those that were concerned about an uncertain future because of financial problems, and on and on. And we saw the power of prayer as the people came together to really seek the face of the Lord. Then we did various events around the city, and those were really important, especially when there was so much tension, because the church could be a calming presence and really go to the source of where our peace is found. So we wanted it to be a blessing for the city also by writing devotions. We had a day of unity together where all the pastors preached on the same message as we thought about the power of prayer. And I tell you, Susie, it was a gift to be a part of it. I would love to see that happen in cities all across America, because I can't imagine the impact it would have on our nation as we approach elections and as we think about all that God has for our country, and yet it's just untapped, unrealized.
Yeah. Oh, I long for that very same thing. And I'm glad you talked about that. What I was talking about is your opening story in chapter one, when you started pastoring a church in Dallas, and you said two things. You believed two things: the sky was the limit and the task was tremendous, and you needed to rebuild your core of leaders. And I think, if I remember right, there was water that was running under the church building. Does that ring a bell?
Right. So yeah. When I went to this church in Dallas, the building supervisor early on in that ministry said, Brent, I want you to come down and hear something. And in the basement, near where all the structure was, the air conditioning, everything, I could hear the trickle of an underground stream that had been underneath the church for as long as the church had been constructed, over 170 years. Hmm. So I saw that analogy as kind of like a gold mine. You know, I thought, what a picture of the underground river, the very stream of God underneath us. And what if we could redig an old well, like it says in the book of Genesis? What if we could tap into the source of life that is already underneath physically the church building, but really underneath the life of the church? That is God's Spirit, you know, God's ever-flowing stream. So we began to talk about that stream and how we believe that God wanted to bring about a revival in our church. And Susie, it was amazing what God did. I can't take any credit for any of it. We saw generosity. We saw lives changed. A recovery ministry started. We saw just God's power at work. And I believe that's what people need to see in America today. You know, they see often in the church a form of godliness, but denying its power.
Denying its power.
People need to see that the power of God is still at work, and that prayers are answered as we call on the name of the Lord.
What's so amazing about that story is, if I remember right, there was like kind of a mindset of scarcity before you got there around finances and even debt. And as you guys pray, then you had some of your core leaders gathering to pray, then a spirit of generosity broke out, and then it kind of quantified and multiplied. And to me, you know, that's when you know God is really moving, because you say, I once was and now I am. And I think when you've been a believer a long time, you lose expectancy that there is a once and now possibility in our story right now, right? I mean, there's so much more God wants to do in and through us.
Right. I think it's a matter of being available, you know, sort of expectant that God is going to work, even if you have to wait a while. It's really looking for how God is moving and being willing to go there. We had one Sunday, I relate this story in the book as well. It was Easter, and this group of men from a local recovery program came like a single file parade into the church. There were about 60 men that came. They came to the church through a really miraculous moment when one of the assistants there wanted to attend church on Easter, but he couldn't get away. So he asked his supervisor, can I take the men to church? They said yes. And that began a two-year ministry of welcoming people who were in the middle of their recovery, starting Bible studies for them, ministering in all kinds of creative ways. We saw baptisms. We heard testimonies of changed lives. I tell you what, Susie, it was like God's wind just blew in a fresh way into our church. The stories of real faith coming to life, and for people that have been Christians for decades, they sort of remembered their own stories of faith, and it encouraged them. It really made a big difference.
There's so many Christians praying for that kind of wind of change now that I believe it's just a matter of time. We just got about 2 minutes before our hard break at the bottom, but sometimes it seems like, Pastor, for God to do a new thing, we need to position ourselves in a new way, right? Where there are sometimes we're kind of doing the same thing. And persistence is one thing, and I think there's something so powerful about that. But oftentimes when we consider just approaching Him in a way, going, seeing Him as in a more reverent light, or as you were saying, looking at, search me, God, is there anything that's blocking, or getting so busy that we run in and we run out? I mean, can you think of other things that sort of hinder, you know, that we don't even realize might be where we're getting in our own way?
The biggest enemy, I believe, is our pride. Our pride comes in. It says we do things for ourselves. We can pat ourselves on the back, but there is no real connection with God apart from humility. Humility is the right approach, as it says in, you know, Second Chronicles. If we are willing to humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God, that is what opens the heavens so that God can bring healing and bring forgiveness and really change us from the inside out. Pride is the way that the devil, you know, really helps us to stay disconnected from the living God. But when we can name that pride and approach God in humility, God can start to do some amazing things.
God wants to do new thing in and through each of us. We're going to pause in just a minute here for a break. As we're going out to break, I want to address three missteps, prayer missteps that Pastor writes about. One is to rush in too quick. Ask for what we think we need. We don't pause and pray long enough to consider whether what we want is what God wants for us. And as a result, we're left disappointed in prayer, wondering if our dream's not the will of God. The second misstep is to fail to open our mouth wide, really wide, so God can fill us and bless others through us in a tremendous way. Once we know what God wants, we shouldn't be afraid to ask for what we need to fulfill that plan. And third, a misstep is to fail to give God praise when the blessings come. How many blessings have we taken for granted? How often has God given us a good gift only for us to take credit for ourselves? When we come back, we're going to hear about some of these George Mueller stories, talking to Dr. Brent McDougall about his book, Prayer Power, 40 Days of Learning to Pray Like George Mueller. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Dr. Brent Patrick McDougall about his amazing book, Prayer Power, 40 Days of Learning to Pray Like George Mueller. And I love a 40-day challenge, especially around prayer. And this is such an activating book. My hubby and I are actually going through it together right now. Tomorrow will be on day 4, so we're looking forward to that. You can text the word book if you want to get in on the drawing, 877-933 2484. Otherwise, I want you to text me. What are your top two prayer items? What are the top two things on your prayer list? Pastor McDougall writes this: through prayer, peace and power flow from God into our lives. But it's not just any kind of prayer that you and I need. We need to learn a particular persistent kind of prayer. We need to learn the conditions of prayer that prevail so we can walk in faith, expecting answers, giving thanks even before the prayer is answered. Are you at that place yet where you're so convinced you're praying God's will in His heart that you're standing on the promise going, I'm going to thank you ahead of time. I know you're faithful to your word. I'm going to get a head start on thanking you now. What a powerful place to be. So, Pastor, tell us about some of your favorite George Mueller stories.
There's so many amazing stories that could be told about his life. You know, George Mueller said that he saw 50,000 answers to prayer over his lifetime, some of them small, some of them big, but every one of them significant and a testament to faithfulness. One story that I love of his is from when he was caring for the orphans. And it was at a time when they didn't have any bread or any milk to give to the children before they went off to school. They were going to be hungry. He was concerned for them. He had a great love for children. And so he gathered children together as well as the other staff. And Susie, they prayed in advance a word of thanks for what God was about to do for providing the breakfast. He gave thanks before the breakfast was even given. Well, after they had prayed that prayer, it wasn't long before they got a call from the baker. And the baker said he had overbaked that day. Could he bring some bread over for the children? Then the milk truck broke down outside of the orphanage a few moments later. There was a knock at the door. I can't use the milk. It's going to spoil. Could the children have this milk today? And he gave thanks. And he wasn't really surprised because he knew that God was faithful. There's another great story from his life where he had been accepting an engagement to preach in Quebec. When he was over the age of 70, God opened a door for him to start traveling internationally, and he was able to preach in many, many countries. He was heading to Canada from Bristol, England, and a great fog had settled over the sea, and so the captain had told everyone, we're not going to make it to Quebec on time. He went to the captain and he said, Captain, I've got to be there. I have this appointment and the Lord has never failed to get me to the appointment that he sets. The captain said, it's impossible. And George Mueller said, well, it may seem impossible for you, but you don't know the God that I serve. Let's go down into the chart room and pray. The captain was bewildered, but he went down with Mueller into the chart room. And the captain watched as Mueller got on his knees and prayed the simplest, most childlike faith that God would remove the fog so that the ship could arrive on time. Well, after he had prayed, the captain began to pray, but Mueller stopped him. He said, you don't need to pray. I've already prayed, and I know that God has answered. Now, Captain, get up and open the door, and you will see that the fog has lifted. And surely enough, he opened the door, and the fog was gone. And the reason we know that story is because that very captain, who was a nominal Christian before meeting George Mueller, turned his life around and became an evangelist. He would share that story again and again because it impacted his faith. So we can see how one story of answered prayer can lead to a whole lifetime of change. Susie, there's so many stories like that, but it just demonstrates that not only for George Mueller, but for everyday believers, the promises of prayer are true. It's not just for a few people, but all those who can learn to pray as Jesus taught and as we find in Scripture, we too can experience the same kind of stories. And that just gets me excited every day to think that the God of heaven hears my prayer and God is already acting to answer what I ask for.
Amen. And there is such a significant connection to the abiding life. If you abide in me and I in you, if your word abides in me, ask what you will. And as you're talking, I don't remember which of Corrie Ten Boom's books this is in, but a similar story where she went in her little comfortable shoes and her little bag, you know, how she traveled. And one of her books is called Tramp for the Lord. Just that shaped my faith as a young believer many, many years ago. And she was flying to three different places, if I remember right. And she went to get her ticket from this place and then had to go here and then here. And the ticket agent gave her back a ticket, but they were out of order. She says, oh, no, you have to put them in this order. She says, my master says I have to go to this country, this place. And she says, well, your master is wrong. And she said, my master is never wrong. Check your screen. You know, and the woman is like, no, you'd have to land in the middle of the ocean to refuel. And she says, very well, I will go sit over here and pray that you find an island in the ocean so you can refuel. You let me know when you find it. And so she sat there. I don't know if she sat for a couple hours, but the woman came over with her eyebrows were up in the back of her head going, did you really pray for an island? And she said, did you find one? Yes, here's your ticket. And she gave her her ticket. But I feel like these two people are such evidence of the abiding life. And when I think about offering my body as a living sacrifice, throwing off everything that hinders, I don't know about you, Pastor, but I love him so much. But I know there's deeper levels of abiding that he wants to invite me to. And I think there's such a profound connection, don't you?
I do. It's the way that God's love is like an ocean. You know, you can see where it starts, but you can never see the ending. You're not going to plumb the depths. There's always more. And I wish everyone knew what it was like. I've only just gotten a taste of the abiding life in Christ, but it has changed me. Mm. And I do believe that Jesus' desire, as he taught his disciples, was that we would learn every day more and more how to abide in him, to rest in him, because it's the only way that we're going to bear fruit. If the American church is not bearing fruit, becoming more salt and light, really making a difference in terms of the moral culture that we see all around us, I believe it's because we haven't learned to abide yet. We haven't learned to depend on him for everything and to every day take our orders from him, our master. That's what we need. It's one of the simplest things to say, but one of the hardest things to grow in and to learn. Mm.
I just wonder if we did this in every city, what you're doing in Texas, gathering with people across denominational lines for the sake of each city. Our cities are desperate for prayer. And if we could come together and seek the God of heaven together, we would see miracles break out. I'm just sure of it. And one of the things I thought was so interesting in some of the George Mueller stories you told in the book were there are times where it was seemed like past the 11th hour that he needed something for the children. But it didn't ever shake him. And you said this. You said one of the things he modeled was that a crisis in circumstances doesn't have to be a crisis in faith. That jumped out at me. I thought, oh, to get to that place, to have enough history with God that you're so confident in him, going, the crisis in the circumstance is not connect. It doesn't have to translate to a crisis of faith. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Right. It makes me think of, you know, Jesus in the boat with the disciples. You know, the waters were churning all around. The storms were coming. He's sleeping. He's snoring while they're terrified. And it kind of shows that, first of all, he knows what we're going through. He's with us in the boat. But also, we don't have to let the storms of life shake us. You know, Susie, storms are going to come. We can expect that in this world we're going to have trouble. Jesus said that's guaranteed. But take heart because he has overcome the world. We know how the story is going to end. And we know that in his goodness, he has good plans for us. And so even if we have to go through a crisis, it doesn't have to mean that our lives fall apart. There's so much anxiety that grips people's hearts these days, so much that terrifies them about the future or about their health or about a family concern. And faith is a place that can help us to feel the peace that we need when we go through that storm. And when we come to that place of knowing that he is with us and he is for us, it makes all the difference. It really is that foundation rock that he talked about at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice. That's like a home that is built on the rock. That's what I want for my life. And I feel like I'm still building on that home. I feel like I've got the foundation right, but there's still so much I need to learn about this. God is so good as he teaches us.
Isn't that true? He's so good. When you look back over your shoulder, what are some of your most significant answers to prayer? And I would love to hear not only big answers, but maybe small ones that would only mean something to you. I love that about God. There's times where it's so nuanced, no one else would even appreciate it, but it speaks volumes to me because it shows how personally he knows me. But ones that have just meant a lot to you.
I've seen answers to prayer for family members to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about prayers that were prayed over 10, 20 or more years. I've seen answers to prayer for challenges that just come through church life. I've been a pastor now for over 20 years, and you know, churches can be messy places, and we get it wrong a lot of times. And I've seen relationships mended through prayer. I've seen obstacles overcome. you know, I mentioned about in Dallas when we were praying about so many different things, and I did something I'd never done before. I'm a runner, and so one day I felt led to go over to the church campus, and I felt like circling the walls of Jericho. Remember that, how they circled seven times, mm-hmm. you know, around mm-hmm. the walls? And I prayed a different prayer for each of those seven times I went around. And I prayed that God would break down the walls of complacency. God, would you break down the walls of racism? God, would you break down the walls of doubt? And Susie, I saw that happen. It didn't happen immediately, but over time, God broke down every wall. So I could tell you stories of how in just the day by day, you know, I was anxious about something, concerned about a need, and by day's end, God had answered that need. You know, for every strain and every challenge, I believe God wants us to look to him, because Jesus knew what it was like to have strains. He knew what it was like to feel overwhelmed and to feel abandoned. And yet, when he turned to the Lord, he found the help that he needed. He did that again and again, and I feel like God has been saying to me recently, that's what Jesus did, and that's what I want you to do, Brent, when you face the trial.
Oh, indeed, and amen. I would say, too, that an active prayer life is contagious. Mm-hmm. When you're the people in your sphere know if you're actively engaged with God, because it becomes a faith adventure. There's that challenge. There's the adversity. There's the answer, but it's you wouldn't want to be anywhere else, right?
Right. I found that the active prayer life that's also with others, you know, as we pray together, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the agreement of prayer, call the elders together to pray over the one who is sick and that person will be healed. I found that I learn a lot about prayer when I hear others pray. When I hear their conversation with their Heavenly Father, I learned something about my relationship with God, and it teaches me to pray. So, yes, I do believe that not only in personal prayers, but the need to call people together and to reach out to a friend and say, would you pray with me about this? Because when two of us agree, the Bible says, again, that God hears that prayer, and that the very presence of Christ is with us in a different way than when we pray on our own. So not only to pray as individuals, but also to pray corporately is so important in the mm-hmm. life of every congregation.
Yeah. We're going to pause for our final break. And I've been saying this off and on for the last 2-3 years. And I'm going to say it again, friends. If you could find 1, 2, 3 of the most fiery praying people you know, and again, maybe your best friends aren't those fiery people, but they're people you know, you've got a relationship with them, connect with them and say, can we hop on a call half hour a week and join our hearts together? I'm telling you, it will change your life. I've been doing that now with these women who are praying for my healing every Wednesday morning. And we pray for our husbands, our kids, and other things, but they start with my healing. I just marvel at the things God has done by us getting together, putting our flames together, so to speak. I challenge you. May the Lord show you who those people are. Maybe you just start by praying for your city, for your church, your pastor, your kids, your marriage, whatever. And wait and watch and see what God will do. I'm talking to Dr. Brent Patrick McDougall about his book, Prayer Power, 40 Days of Learning to Pray Like George Mueller, filled with stories about George Mueller's faith and then practical application about how and why to stand in faith and stand on God's word and trust that he's good. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. It's 877-933-2484. When we come back, I want you to, Pastor, if you would, talk about listening to God in prayer, how to hear his voice, how to know his will. More with the pastor in just a moment.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you.
Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Dr. Brent Patrick McDougall. He's a pastor and author. His book is titled Prayer Power, 40 Days of Learning to Pray Like George Mueller. I love these kinds of books that just challenge my faith and activate our prayer life on a deeper level. George Mueller's been a faith hero of mine for so long, and to read new stories about him in this book and then just have practical application, oh boy, I love it. So you can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. And Pastor McDougall writes this: the key to faithful prayer is found in knowing that you and I have no natural prospect of gaining what God wants to provide. It's all grace. It all belongs to Him. Everything you are and everything you have is given by the grace of God. And I think the more we focus on that, the more we realize how good God really, really is. So, Pastor, talk, if you would, about maybe to the person listening today going, how do I know how to hear His voice, and how do I discern what His will is?
It's such a good question, because many people do struggle with knowing what God wants and also having a quiet enough heart to hear God's voice. We face so much distraction, so many voices that speak into our lives that honestly are not the best for us. Maybe they're well-intentioned, but they're not God's voice, and that's the one that we need to hear. So a couple of practical things. One is from my own prayer life. I picked this up a few years ago. Every morning I have sort of a prayer practice where I think of it in prayer, beginning before I read scripture. It's almost like I imagine like a bathtub that is filled with all kinds of, you know, kind of junk. Imagine like ring around the tub, you know, that kind of thing. And what I imagine is sort of, Lord, would you help to drain out all the worry, all the negativity? Would you just get rid of, God, anything I need to confess? And I just let all that drain out. And I just ask the Lord to bless me in that way, confessing what I need to, asking for forgiveness. And then that allows for the good stuff to start to fill me, and I can start to hear God's voice. So it's really important to do something like that. Other people call it kind of taking out the trash, or dealing with, you know, all the stuff that's within our hearts that might hinder us from hearing God's voice. And then we're able to pray rightly. Well, George Mueller had a very specific practical practice for hearing the will of God. This is something that's been very helpful to me, maybe for others too. He has a couple of important steps. The first one, he says, as he prays to know the will of God, he says, first of all, I empty myself of any outcomes that are based in my own will. He says, I want just to express again and again, not my will, God, but your will. And he said, 95% of the problem in prayer is that we bring our own sense of how we want God to answer that prayer. He said, first of all, I just empty myself of any will that I have, asking for God's outcome to be primary in my life. Second, he says, he doesn't trust a feeling. He doesn't trust an emotion in his prayers. He says that, of course, emotion is good. Praying from the heart is good. But he said sometimes his feelings don't often help him to pray. And so he tries not to trust a feeling to guide his prayers, but instead, again, just to empty himself of his own will. Then he prays with two things in mind. It's the Word of God led by the Spirit of God. So he goes to God's Word, seeking counsel and wisdom for how to pray, letting the Spirit of God guide him. Fourth, he says, he presents the request to God. He asks the Lord to reveal God's will and to show him what is there. And then finally, after having prayed simply for God's will to be revealed, trusting that it will be, he looks to see if there's peace in his life. He asks, Lord, is this what you want? Are the circumstances surrounding my life also sort of lining up with this? He continues to pray, and as he continues to have peace, he moves forward with confidence. It never occurred to me, Susie, before kind of reading that sort of pattern, that there's a practical way to know God's will. But I think he's right. It's all based in what Jesus has already taught us and what it is revealed in God's will. And so there is a way to know what God wants. It makes sense, right? It makes sense, because why would God have a will and have a plan for us and then not reveal it to us? You know, God wants to show us what God wants, but our hearts have to be right. And Mueller helps us to know how to do that.
That's so good. You hear it so often when someone has an outcome in mind and they create the bullseye and they're trying to pray God into that
right.
bullseye. And then when that doesn't happen, because he's not bound by our dictates, they get disappointed and say prayer doesn't work. But then when they're missing so much, if we could remember, it's like if you were to poke a pinhole in a piece of paper, that's our perspective and he sees everything else, you know?
Right.
I mean, can you think of times when you had an outcome in mind and you prayed and God in his kindness gave you something else that was so much better?
Sure. There have been so many times where I thought that I knew what I wanted, but in the end, God showed something different. There was a time in my life, Susie, a few years ago where I ran for a local election. I ran for the school board. I thought that it was God's will, and I do believe it was God's will for me to run. But it was not God's will for me to win. And I was sort of thinking about how I could serve my community. And of course, I was disappointed. But I really came to see through that experience that, you know, you can't sit in two chairs at the same time. You know, you can't sit on two different chairs. One is always going to fall, or you're going to fall in between. You know, you've got to choose, you know, and be sure of how God has called you. And just reaffirm my calling to the church and to do God's will and to do all that I can to develop God's church. So that was a powerful lesson for me. And I feel like God gave me a gentle landing, even when I didn't win, taught me something through it and just once again, reaffirm my calling.
Reminds me of a friend of mine. She was from high school, but then she went to college and then to med school. And she was talking about when she had finished med school, she'd met a friend that was a nurse going through nursing school, and God called her out of nursing school before she graduated. And she had said to her when she was wrestling, my friend who's a doctor told her, just because Jesus led you to nursing school doesn't mean he intends for you to be a nurse. And that has stuck with me because, again, we get the A and the B, and then we think we know Z. And then we start to second guess ourselves. But if we could I love what you said, that I know it was God's will that I run. I thought it was God's will that I win. But there's times you look at the apostles, the detours that they took. They thought they were going here. God led them there. Oh, if we could get a little more flexible in his hands and try to enjoy the journey, you know?
Right. Nothing is wasted with God. And sometimes, many times, we don't see, you know, what God is doing. We can't see the big picture. But Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite verses. All things are worked together for good for those that love God and who are called according to his purpose. And I do believe that what matters is that we continue to seek and continue to exercise our faith and to move forward. You know, God can't do much with someone who's just refusing to move, refusing to do something, refusing to make a step of faith. But when you get in motion, God can correct your missteps, and God can help you to learn from your mistakes. The important thing is just to put everything of your life in God's hands and believe that God's going to make something even more beautiful than you could ever dream for yourself.
So good. Your opening verse in chapter 1, I've been seeing it all over the place, and it's been so good. Psalm 81:10, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Unpack that, if you would.
Well, Mueller really accentuated that verse as being an important part of him wanting to launch an orphanage. He knew that God was calling him to do something, but he just wasn't sure what it was. And so his first prayer was, God, would you reveal to me if you're wanting me to begin an orphanage? I know that it's on your heart to care for orphans, but I may not be the one to do it. And so he just prayed. And so he asked God to reveal that. And that was all of his prayer for many, many weeks. But then one day his prayer changed. And it had to do as he was reading with Psalm 81, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And what came out of George Mueller's mouth when he opened wide was actually praise. It was God, thank you for revealing your will. God, thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you, God, for who you are and your love for orphans. And as he opened wide his mouth, he also began to pray for provision for the orphans, people to come and to work, all that he would need to do the work. And he saw God move in an amazing way. As he waited on God's timing, he opened wide his mouth and God filled it with so many good things. And it all was a blessing to others. It wasn't just for Mueller's benefit, but really for the sake of those who were hurting. It was a great picture of me, for me, for how to pray and how quickly I just jump into, like you mentioned before, God, here's what I want to see happen. Would you bless that? When we really need to be waiting for God's will first, and then pray for God to provide what God has ordained to happen.
And the worship is so often where the revelation comes as we get ready to wrap here. This is a word from Dr. McDougall's book that may be for you today. Maybe your prayer today is, God, you created me to dream big, so help me to pray God-sized dreams. I want to know how to pray according to your will for your glory. Pastor, thank you for joining us today. What an encouraging conversation. I wish you God's absolute best.
Thank you, Susie. Blessings on your ministry. I've loved the time with you, and I'll be praying for your ministry as well.
Thank you. Hope you'll come back again. That's Dr. Brent Patrick McDougall. His book, Prayer Power, 40 Days of Learning to Pray Like George Mueller. I pray you found some encouragement here, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.